Hey everybody, you're back with Dave and Ed, and this is To the Death Podcast.
Episode 25 with my grandmaster, Yanni Hironakis. If you guys haven't heard, he was already on episode 4. This is our first repeat guest.
That's because we can't get anyone else to talk to us.
Don't say we, because you can't. I'm doing my job, you should be doing yours.
But the guests specifically have mentioned that they're willing to talk to me, but you are not welcome.
No, they didn't.
I will show you text messages. I will post them.
Go ahead, post them.
I'm going to post them.
Have at it.
Matt, text me that so that I can post it.
Well, today on the episode, we talked to Yanni about my recent trip to school. I haven't been going every day. I've been seeing you. And we also talk about some of the guests that we had. Go ahead.
I was happy to hear that you haven't lost a touch. Yanni said that you actually rolled well, even though you've been training with me all this time.
Yeah, I haven't lost anything. I've gained. I'm not saying I haven't gained.
See, yeah, that's good.
But
I love it.
He showed me He showed me some cool stuff.
You're going to teach me?
I'll teach you. What's today? I'll teach you on Tuesday.
Yeah, you're not coming on Wednesday? Wednesday you work?
Yes.
Wednesday, Sunday?
There you go. Now you're getting it. Whew.
Only took 4 years.
So we also talk about competitions, because that was part of the stuff we were talking about with Zach and promotions.
And we talk about being on the outskirts of the Yon Father Mafia.
Well, you talk about it. You keep bringing it up, but you know, because I just want to know.
I'm wedging in there. I'm trying to wedge myself in there. Also, before we started recording, I had a little words with Yanni about how this friendship is one way. I text him. He face plants, face palms. He never texts me.
You consider him a friend? He doesn't think of you as a friend.
What do you mean? He came to my wedding.
Yeah, but you guys lost touch.
When?
Right after the wedding. He was like, that's enough.
But we've reconnected for how many years now? How long do we have to be back in connection in order to rekindle our flame?
I mean, how about go to a class once in a while? When's the last time you went to his school for a class?
Before COVID.
Way before. Probably not even 2020.
I cannot confirm.
Exactly.
I don't keep track. Do you keep track of my schedule?
I always do. I always know what you're doing.
Attendance?
Yep. Just like the movies. I know all the numbers.
If he put me on the Zen planner, then we'd be able to keep track of my attendance, and we'd know the exact date.
Is that what you want? You want to be on the planner?
No, because it's not fair for him to have to pay for me.
Okay.
So in addition to everything else that we talked to with Yanni, we talk about the upcoming Who's Number One. Well, actually, by the time you hear this, the past Who's Number One.
Right. And we have some predictions.
And every single one of mine was correct.
That's not true. You give it all away now. This is what I wanted to do before the thing.
Sorry.
For people that don't know.
But I didn't say what happened. I just said all the
right, right,
correct.
Right. But we just got done watching. What was it called?
Who's Number One.
We just got done watching. I wanted to record the intro before that happened and then the outro after it happened.
But I didn't give anything away because no one knows. Because they haven't heard the episode yet.
Yeah, but we were going to give predictions now.
Oh, we're even the predictions now?
No, well, not now. You just said all yours won.
No, I said all mine were wrong.
Oh.
So let's just give the predictions.
We'll go down one by one. My phone's fine.
All right. Gordon Ryan, Mateus Denise.
We, all of us, I think, well, me and you thought Gordon's going to win.
I'm pretty sure that Yanni did too.
Then we got Roberto and Craig Jones.
Roberto, my man.
I went with Roberto as well.
I think that's a wise decision.
Then we have Gabby Garcia versus Elizabeth Clay.
Please. I don't know what this girl was thinking.
You'll hear Yanni's thoughts on that
fight. Do you want to fight Gabby Garcia?
We all thought Gabby was going to win. Dante Leon versus something Steele?
Cody Steele. Cody Steele is a beast. I cannot wait to see that match. Dante is a monster, though. He just had a fantastic fight with Gary Tonin, who, in my opinion, is the most exciting grappler now.
Who else said that? Somebody else said he's really exciting. Who agrees with you?
Joseph.
Oh, Joseph, right.
Yes.
And
Gary
then
Tonin, fanboy.
We have, who do we both pick Leon for that one.
Yeah.
Then we got Tackett versus Rao.
I pick Jason Rao. Gordon says this is his toughest training partner.
I went with Tackett. I don't know either of them, just because I liked his name.
Yeah, but doesn't Jason Rao sound more Brazilian? Didn't you choose another fighter because their name sounded more Brazilian?
Maybe down the line. You're giving it away. How about Meow versus Martinez?
Meow.
Meow. I pick Meow because, I don't know.
I pick Meow because Martinez is boring.
Boring?
Not on the regular, though, because he had a fantastic fight in ADCC 2015 in Brazil with an old... What the heck is it called? See, this is what happens when I try and use big words when I'm tired.
I don't even know what you're trying to say.
Jeff Glover. I used to love Jeff Glover.
Yes.
And he had a fantastic match. It was actually match of the competition. Best fight of the competition. Gio Martinez, Jeff Glover. So he wasn't always boring, but lately he's been very boring. So, yeah, I picked Meow.
Wow, harsh. Meow. All right. Gordon Ryan's brother, Nikki Ryan, versus a wrestler.
Versus some wrestler, yeah.
Okay. We both picked Nikki Ryan for
of
that
course.
One.
Some wrestler. Stay in your own sport.
And then Ribeiro versus...
Ribeiro?
Versus who else? Who I don't remember the name. The
Montero.
Girl. Montero. I yes. picked Ribeiro because of...
I picked as well.
Okay.
I like the leg locks. She just fought. She holds the Fight to Win belt.
Cool.
Yeah.
Those were all the picks. So
I had educated guesses, though. How did you make your decisions, Ed?
Just half of them was just the names, based on the name.
I love that, though. Oh, okay. We'll talk about that in the outro.
Okay. And then, also, during this episode, we talk about our weight loss challenge that we have come up with.
We're going to do it, and both of us were loading up tonight.
Yeah.
I'm still loading. I was loading my face right before I picked up the microphone.
But cannolis was crossing the line. You didn't want a cannoli?
No, I don't like cannolis.
Those cannolis are pretty good.
I didn't even eat junk. I had chili. And chips. More chili. I did have some chips.
Whoops.
Oh, somebody forgot to turn their phone off. You know what? My Bluetooth's on right now.
Also, I thought it was very interesting. You told Yanni that I am an ambassador for That's the sport right. of BJJ.
I believe that you are somewhat of, now, you are somewhat of an ambassador of the sport. How'd that make you feel when you heard that?
Icky. It felt weird.
But you are.
I don't
you
know.
Are spreading the sport. I feel not like... even in the gym. You've now ventured outside of your gym to my gym, outside of that gym. And we have people that you've never even met that are listening to this podcast in countries that you've never even been to.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay, yeah. You're an ambassador of the sport. Congratulations.
Yanni didn't even know how to react to that. You guys, you'll listen to see what he said.
I don't remember what he said.
Exactly.
He was impressed, though, I think. Said you're doing things that are getting you closer to black belt every day.
How much closer? Nobody knows.
That's all I wanted. I'm just trying to get a scale, but he wouldn't even give an answer. I just want some sort of scale to know. I don't know.
And we talk about my motivation. You were asking Yanni how we can keep me motivated. You're very...
There's no way to keep you motivated. No. Your motivation is just going to dwindle.
What are you talking about?
It'll sprout back up again and dwindle. Oh, by the way, I stopped on my way home from work today to harass the t-shirt guy.
Okay.
Tuesday, the latest.
All right. We got shirts.
Tuesday.
Well, how are we going? What are we going to do with them?
Wear them. That's what you should do. You should throw out all the ones with holes in them.
Well, what if people want a shirt? Where do they get one?
I've already sold three. They're not even for sale. We're not even selling them.
What are we doing with them?
I don't know. We'll figure it out when we go.
This is not where we talk about this like this.
I like to. People get to hear how we think. Does it scare you people? And this is only a little bit. Could you imagine?
I can't. I don't want to.
Why not?
Okay. We also talk about the YouTube videos that we're starting to do. You got the microphone in.
I did. It came.
All right, so we're going to start doing the gi reviews. We already recorded a couple students doing some rounds with our commentary on top of it. How do you think that came out?
Good, except that Sam texted me and he does not want his video released.
Is that real?
No.
Okay. That's not even funny. I don't even know why you would put
it's
that.
It's funny.
Not funny.
Because in your head, you were like, oh, what are we going to do? I know how you think. It was for you and you alone.
You can't hurt me.
I can and I will.
All right.
Especially on the mat.
Let's get into this episode and then we'll talk about who won. Afterwards.
Fine.
All right. This is To the Death Podcast.
Episode 25.
Did adults really have an adult scene in karate, or was it mostly kids?
It's mostly kids, but there's going to be a market for it. I mean, it's going to be different than the market for jiu-jitsu for sure.
I was just talking to my friend and he was saying like he was interested in starting something like that, like karate or something. And I was explaining to him like you could do that, that's fine, but I don't think you're going to get out of it what you're hoping to, because to get really good at it, it's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get hurt, that means you're not really going to get really good at it. So that's why jiu-jitsu would be the best, because you can go as hard as you can in the right circumstances and you're not going to get hurt.
And if he's looking to learn how to strike, it's probably going to be much easier to find good quality training at a kickboxing gym than at a karate school these days.
Yeah, so karate sucks.
When you
I do not endorse that opinion.
Said. That's what you just said.
That's
though.
What I heard. When you taught Taekwondo, did you have an adult program?
No, we didn't have an adult program. We only had kids Taekwondo. Then I started an adult kickboxing. But when I was going up through the ranks, there was an adult Taekwondo, yes.
That's because there was nothing else, really, right?
I mean, yeah.
Karate, Ishinru, stuff like that. But
So last time we talked to you, nothing was open. We're sitting in here trying to figure out how to do it. You were our first guest. I don't know, 20 weeks have gone by. How is things going?
So far, so good. I'm pretty happy with the way our classes are going. Our kids program are still kind of slow, but our adult program is pretty good. Pretty much everyone's training. I mean, the percentage of students that haven't come back is not that big, but we've been getting some new students. So I'm pretty happy about it.
So now you just heard Ed say 20-something weeks has gone by since we spoke with you last on the podcast. Are you impressed by Ed's dedication to this podcast? He hasn't really tapered much.
I'm impressed. I'm not surprised, though. I feel like if Ed makes a decision to do it, he will follow through.
But wait, on that thought, what about his jiu-jitsu?
His jiu-jitsu felt good today, I'll tell you what.
I mean with the follow-through. He, you know, one foot in, one foot out, one foot in. The podcast, he's pretty much both feet in, pretty much.
I've been doing jiu-jitsu 13 years. If I'm doing this podcast in 13 years, I'd be impressed by myself.
But even since the beginning, white belt, what did you say? Half in, half out. Podcast, you're pretty much both feet in this whole time.
It hasn't even been a year yet, Davey. So.
Yeah, well, Ed went through quite a while where he was very consistent. So.
Blue belt was a consistent.
Yeah, exactly. Like, especially like when he started training here, like he was like focused on getting better. And especially when like Dennis was here and we had like that whole crew. He was definitely very dedicated. That was a long stretch, you know. That's why
we were watching the videos from 2009, right before you got here, of some of my matches. Oh, yeah. So silly! Like I'm doing my same exact game, but just way worse. Just it's so fun to watch.
Way worse now.
The funny thing is that even though he's doing things not as good as he would like to have done it.
It works.
It worked on his opponents, so that's all that matters, right? Just got to be better than who you're doing against.
And you just said that today he was rolling good. He was rolling well.
Well, actually, Yanni rolled me my first round, which was always my best round.
But he was rolling well.
Yeah, he rolled well first round with me, and then after that he rolled with a couple of white belts and helped him out.
You know how I am.
Then
I
sat out for after the third round.
No, I didn't sit out. After the round ended, I sit and wait for somebody to come. Nobody comes because they're scared, so then the white belts.
And then you're just like, you know, laughing at everyone while they're rolling. I'm like, why aren't you rolling?
Because Gary was in the bathroom. I roll with Gary, and then I roll with Ray, and then guess what Ray told me?
That you're very big.
That's exactly what he said.
We spoke in the parking lot about you.
He was like, he parked on me.
Why didn't you train? No, he was just sitting in the parking lot, and not even in the parking spot anymore.
Just sulking.
And I'm like, RJ, I know that one. Let me go say hello.
I haven't been training that much. Only maybe 3 times a week.
That's pretty consistent for you.
As long as it's consistency, that's all it is.
But were you impressed he hasn't gotten worse training with me all the time?
No, I'm not impressed.
He wants me to get better. Yanni's showing me some new wizardry today. Every time I show up, he shows something that I could immediately put in my game. And I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to do it to you later.
That's fine.
It's fantastic.
You coming tonight?
Maybe.
Maybe. I know you already trained once today. Now we're podcasting. You have videos to go over. I probably will not see you tonight. You know who says they're coming?
Who?
Ron.
Oh, Ron's coming tonight?
That's what he says.
So it's been a while since he trained, huh?
Yeah, he's so busy right now. He had a thing with work, and then he's doing the dog training. So soon to be sponsor if he ever gives me the write-up. Have you been listening consistently?
Yes. Every Monday.
And has the podcast influenced you in any way?
Influenced me?
Hearing, not from us, because we don't know anything, but some of our guests might be more knowledgeable than us. Some of the black belts we've had on.
Might be?
Might be. It's questionable.
So arrogant.
The jury's still out on that one, right? No, the podcast has been great. I like listening to some of the different point of views. Like, for example, not that long ago, you had Joseph Manuel, and I really liked that one. That one, he kind of talked about his point of view and how he, his opinion on big guy versus small guy. I thought that was very interesting. And I agree with some of the things, although I do disagree about, I feel like Hodger Gracie is
very
special.
That's what I was saying. He was blowing my mind when he was saying, I was like, hold on.
I'll be honest, when it was happening, at the time when I was watching Hodger Gracie, I was kind of like, yeah, but because I was such a Marcelo fanboy that I just wanted Marcelo to win the open weight all the time.
Yeah,
And then Hodger would be, I'm like, well, he's 6'6" or whatever. He's gigantic. But as I've matured a lot in my black belt days, definitely have a huge appreciation for Hodger.
But then look at what he did to Buchecha.
Exactly. Well, like, the thing is, it's like he capitalized on a mistake, and that's a big part of jiu-jitsu, being able to capitalize on a mistake and not let the guy out. That was a great match. I mean, I kind of thought Buchecha was going to be able to take him down and outwork him. And in the beginning of the match, he wasn't attacking much on the feet. Buchecha was attacking, and then finally he like countered a movement and then swept him into the back. And then Buchecha like looked almost like a white belt there when he was like got his back taken. He was like, "Oh my God, I'm just gonna freak out right here." And Hodger just
I think the percentage is pretty high. Like if a black belt takes another black belt's back, they're going to finish.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times do they really get out? Because you're so far ahead that you really shouldn't get out. If both guys are perfect and you get that far ahead.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing Hodger is actually known for, though, is his defense. You know, he's known as a guy that didn't get submitted since he was a blue belt. And because he grew up doing jiu-jitsu, he was like a young teenager. Like, if you can, we all know, we all have those like young kids that train with the adults and we're beating up on them now. And then guess what happens when they're bigger? You know, they're beating up on us. And
I don't know what you're laughing at. Your son will never beat me.
He's going to.
He'll never tap me.
He's definitely going to.
He can't
tap
me.
Although I saw one of the kids the other day. If he knew the over-under pass, he would have just blown right through his guard.
Give me his name. I'll help him out.
Rylan.
But that's an important thing because guys like Hodger, who developed this amazing defense, now when they get their back taken, they always survive. And then there's been a few matches where I see Hodger getting into deep subs. You know, I think Shanji got him in a nasty triangle. ADCC, where it was like, oh, that's fully figure forward, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he got out and then submitted him right afterwards.
That's what I'm saying. He's my hero. I mean, yeah. I want to be just like him.
Okay, so both of you guys agree on this, but how about, Yanni, you just brought up Marcelo, and I know that you're a huge fan of Hafa. So if you have to pick out of the three, Hafa, Marcelo, Hadra, who is it?
Who's
going to win? Your personal goat. Your personal goat.
Like, as far as me watching and getting the most out of it, probably Hafa.
Yeah, me too.
All right, good. So you guys agree again.
He's my
but
teacher.
I'm in agreement with that, too.
I do also love Marcelo's game more for Nogi, I would say, because it's like a little bit simpler. And, you know, the butterfly, the X-guard, guillotines and north-south chokes are great. And then Hodger's, like, overall just great to watch, especially, like, the closed guard, because I've recently been working a lot more closed guard dragging to the back and climbing the back, and Hodger is just like the king of that. Like, he would drag the arm across, make it look easy against almost anyone.
Was he doing those two-on-one grips that you're doing now, or not really?
I think he was doing something similar. You know,
is that the same two-on-one grip that I was trying on you a few times?
It works. Yeah.
Am I missing a detail that Yanni could give me right now?
For sure.
we gotta set up a private.
No, you don't need a private. How about you just show up to regular class? And
yeah,
then...
fine. But let me get the details.
How about
for
tomorrow?
That specifically.
What about tomorrow? You got anything?
It's soccer practice.
Oh, come on with the soccer practice.
And it's who's number one?
Oh, yeah. We're watching it here.
Who's number one? Ed, who's number one? Do you know what that is?
Gordon Ryan.
Yeah.
Speaking of defense.
He's got great defense, too.
He's got great defense. There are a lot of matches, if you watch all of Gordon's matches, where he's going against lower-level guys. And he gives up top, gives up position, like side control.
When he started Possum Guard?
He's doing it on purpose, you're saying?
I've seen him do it on purpose, and then he gets out of it. It's actually known that at Donaher's class, they do a lot of escaping bad position training, you know? Start from the back, start from...
I love that.
Mount, you know? And they do that a lot, and you see that when Gordon at, say, EBI or any of these other ones, he will get out eventually. He's very calm. And then when he's in the position, he just doesn't let the person.
Yeah, so Gary Tonon, I remember seeing him doing
Gary
Kumite.
Tonon's defense is amazing.
I remember that. He's really good at defense.
Gary Tonon's defense is amazing. He's more of like dynamic, though. It's like you think you're attacking him, and all of a sudden he found a weird counter, and he's on top of you or on your back or on your leg.
Do you follow Kyotera on Instagram?
I think so.
Did you see the post he put up yesterday?
I don't know if I
did.
Oh,
man,
I'll
have to show it to you. It's some super flexible guy, and this guy's like stepping on his elbow. And it's Gary. You thought Gary Tonon's escapes were good? Check this guy out or something.
Oh,
or
man.
Hold my beer. That's what it was.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and this guy's like, oh, man. He puts his arms behind his back, twists. Just the guy's a pretzel. It was hilarious, the line that they used, though.
A contortionist. You sometimes see those videos of contortionists doing like, like fitting themselves into boxes and stuff. Yeah. And you're just like, man, if they did jiu-jitsu, it'd be the biggest pain in the neck to roll with.
So let's go back to who's number one, because that was on the list of something to talk about. Do you have any predictions?
Let's go through all of them. I have predictions for pretty much the whole event.
All right, let's start at the top. Gordon Mateus.
Gordon Mateus. I would say if there's a submission, I would say Gordon's going to be the one submitting him.
Agreed.
What are the rules for this one?
It's 30 minutes sub only.
And for then, all the matches?
No, for this main event. The rest are 15, yeah. So, and then if there's no submission, then they go to a rep decision. Mateus's chances, I think, as far as submission, he's got a really good like Japanese necktie, which is kind of like a short Dars.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible he can get that early in the match. I think as the match goes on, be less of a chance of getting that. Gordon has a more like slow, methodical approach to his game. So I think if he gets a submission, it's going to probably be mid to late in the match. It's probably I'm going to guess if Gordon gets like to his back or something, it's going to be later in the match. Probably.
Yeah,
like
if you watched him 15, ADCC, he was getting to the back.
How,
it was at the end
have
of the
they
round.
Faced each other yet or no?
No.
This is good.
But Mateus is very good. Mateus is very technical for a big guy, but also very smart. And he hasn't been submitted in no gi, I think, since he got his black belt. So that's something to be said there. You know, he's faced pretty much everyone.
The ref's decision, do they have like certain criteria that they say, or it's just kind of they look at it?
I think it's mostly sub attempts with positional control as well, I believe. I think it was only sub attempts for a while, but I think flow grappling has adjusted there. Because there have been a few like decisions, I think, that didn't go.
It's going to kind of be like the same rule set as Fight to Win?
Yeah, I think.
Similar?
Similar to Fight to Win, but I think they've adjusted a little bit because there's a few matches. I think one of the Rutolo twins got a win that over Ethan Krellenstein. Yep. That was like, oh, I don't know about that one. He got mounted twice, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you on that one. What about, let's go to, this is a crazy matchup to me. I honestly don't know what the girl was thinking. Elizabeth Clay versus Gabby Garcia.
I like Elizabeth Clay. She's very aggressive.
Awesome.
Did she talk about Elizabeth? Didn't we talk about her with the Dominica? That's who she was talking about.
Yes, yeah.
Elizabeth Clay.
Young brown belt.
She's a young brown belt. She's solid. She's like a thicker girl.
She's been submitting black belts.
Yeah, she's submitted like world-class black belts already, especially in no-gi. However, she's just way undersized.
Yeah.
And I think it's just going to be a boring match. I think Gabby is going to just stay. She's going to be on top because Elizabeth doesn't seem to do any takedowns. So she's going to be on bottom and she's going to avoid any subs and try to like
she's not bully
gonna
avoid
her around.
The sub. Did you see Gabby Garcia in the last match that she just got half guard on top and just Americana from
yeah.
half guard?
Well, that's
top.
The thing. She's very physically imposing. It's going to be very hard for someone giving up close to 80 pounds, I'm guessing, to have a match with someone like Gabby. And unless she gets to her heel, which I'm willing to bet that Gabby's just going to sit on her heels really hard and just make sure she doesn't get caught.
Yeah.
And then if she gets a chance, she'll probably throw in a couple of Americana attempts. Maybe decision-wise, I think it'll probably go to decision. I don't think there's going to be a sub. I think that Elizabeth will defend most of the submissions that Gabby will put, and I think Gabby's just going to be too big.
Damn, you're really like not selling this one. I don't want to watch this fight at all.
No, this one, I don't understand this one, except that Elizabeth called her out several times.
Elizabeth called her out, and I think she's like showing that she wants to fight anyone, and she's beaten some good names.
Yeah. Maggie, what's her last name?
I don't know her name. That's
Cyborg.
Girlfriend. Yeah, I mean, apparently she had beaten her before, but basically she gave up against Elizabeth Clay. Elizabeth, as soon as she attacked, she basically tapped out immediately.
Still, I was impressed.
I'd love to see her win, but you're making it sound not reasonable. What about our boy, Roberto?
Roberto Ooh. Versus Craig Jones.
They've faced each other before, haven't they?
No, they
no,
haven't.
They haven't faced
so
each other.
I am so excited for this match. Now, but Roberto is a monster, but he has one weakness, and it's Craig's strength. So I can't wait to see what happens here.
Yeah, I think Craig Jones is going to win this one.
I think Roberto's going to win.
I picked
How
Roberto
that?
On that that Instagram poll.
You did it.
I did it.
I'm proud of you.
I just guessed.
I love Roberto. I think Roberto's is got the like a heart of a lion, and he'll go against anyone and not back down at all, which is one thing that really like is a great quality to have. I think as he gets even more and more experience, he's getting better and better, you know? He is weak in the leg locks. It looks like in a lot of his matches, he gets nervous when people go to his legs and he slows down. But Craig is bigger than him, and even without leg locks, it's gonna be, there's not that many guys that can beat Craig Jones.
Mm. Hasn't somebody beaten him before? Who beats him?
Yeah, people have beat him.
Gordon?
Mateus beat
just
him.
Gordon? Oh, Mateus beat
Mateus
him.
Has beaten him, yeah.
Okay.
He's lost a few matches here and there, but he's also has submitted a lot of really good guys. And
they're advertising this as the biggest women's Nogi match, which just seems wild to me.
Name a better one.
Women's Nogi? How about the other match on the card, which I cannot find the names?
Here's a good one. Dante Leon versus Cody Steele.
Leon.
I picked Leon because that's the only person I know. I don't know the other guy.
That's going to be an exciting match.
Who's the other guy?
I'm gonna pick Dante as well, but Cody Steele's really good.
Who's he from?
He trains with in Texas with William Tackett, who is also on the card. I'm picking William Tackett versus Jason Rao.
You're picking Tackett, huh?
Oh yeah.
I'm picking Jason Rao. Gordon says it was probably one of his toughest training partners.
Agreed. However, Nick Ronan, who's also has a similar style and is also known as like the guys that from the DDS that like can go head to head with like Gordon and Craig Jones and all of them. He got beat pretty soundly by William Tackett. And I feel like their styles are similar. Their size are similar. I'm going to give it to William Tackett. He's a young kid. He's very well-rounded. He's got great wrestling. He's got really good subs from everywhere. And he can mount and take the back. I think he's going to outwork him.
Have you seen the video of Cody Steele and him training together?
Yeah, they go nuts.
Oh, man. Crazy. You thought you moved yesterday? Nothing.
You should have seen me moving. I was dancing yesterday.
Yeah. All over.
I was like a circus bear.
What is going on? But after that,
cartwheel passes
attack.
Into.
He had a heart attack afterwards.
Yeah, these guys go at it. They go at it so hard. And they have a very modern no-gi style that is constantly moving forward. I think William Tackett, if he gets bigger, he's going to be. He'll be one of the challengers to Gordon, you know, maybe in a few years. But he needs to gain some size, I think.
I think he's probably close to finished growing.
A
little more TRT. See what happens.
We'll see. We'll see. Maybe an open weight division or something like that.
So now how about let's just...
Ooh, also, Paulo Miau versus Gio Martinez. This one...
Big thumbs down.
Why?
Not one I want to see.
You don't want to see this one?
I don't find Gio to be an exciting match at all.
I picked Paulo because I like him.
I'm going to pick Paulo as well, but I don't think it's going to be a close match, like a one-sided match. I think going to be a close match. Well, Gio's very good.
I disagree.
You disagree? They face each other many times. They know each other's games very well. Gio is very, like, his style is, like, he tries to catch you and stuff, right? Like, if you come in, he goes for, like, some sort of darts, or he tries to get you in a leg, but he's a counter fighter. Paulo is also kind of like that as well. He doesn't really go forward that much. He has a very good defensive guard, but he goes forward, I think, a little bit more. So that's why I think it's not going to be super action-packed match, because they both kind of are counter fighters. But I think Paulo is going to be good enough all around that he'll probably like get to his back. I don't know if he'll finish him, or I don't think there's going to be a leg lock. Obviously, you're not going to leg lock Paulo or Joao Miau, you know?
Ever? They've never been leg locked?
They've been leg locked.
They let their legs just get destroyed.
They just let their legs break. They have that part of the brain that, you know.
Even heel hooks, they just turn their knees inside out?
Yeah, you know, like, you know how we have a part of a brain that, you know, feels pain?
Yeah,
they got rid of theirs.
Wait, you never saw the toe hold?
I saw the toe, but not the knee. Like,
even, did you see ADCC?
ADCC,
he had this knee bar. Ty Rotolo did his knee bar with only a few seconds left, so he yanked on it. Paulo was obviously like, oh, it's only a few seconds left. You see his face, it's like completely still, and his leg is going in the other direction.
Completely the other direction. Doesn't
like
even
the
care.
The curve is literally.
And Dave wants to compete. Like, you don't have the competition gene like they do. That's something different.
I'm not going to compete against them.
Obviously not them, but like people in general.
I like competing. I want to compete.
No.
What about the other girls' match? Hibero versus help.
I would say that's a tough Hibero. One. I'm gonna go with Montero on that one. She very rarely loses.
The other one's very good at leg locks. You saw her. She was on Fight to Win a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't know.
Really good leg attacks. I was impressed.
I don't know her that well, so I can't say.
Am I going to come to your house and watch
the Were interview? They? Wait, was I she also, did you see the Third Coast Grappling last weekend?
I did not. I fell asleep.
It was good. The finals is Montero versus...
These shows that start at 6 p.m., they're too late for me anymore.
No, I hear you. I hear you. It was good, though. There were some interesting matches because there was like this one girl that was like smaller and like around 130, I think. And most of the other girls were like 150, 160. So I was studying Hidalgo's sister, Ana Carolina. Her passing was excellent. Very technical.
Just like Hidalgo.
I think this is
just like Hidalgo.
Was she in this? I believe she was in it. This is the smaller girl, I believe.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oof. In the no-gi setting, might be a different story.
She has good leg locks.
If it's a smaller girl that I'm thinking, this girl was all about spider guard and lasso. I can't imagine her game would transfer that well in no-gi.
I don't know how I feel about these matches. How do you feel about when they bring in people from other sports? I know everyone likes it because you can get maybe some cross viewership. Maybe you can get some people trying out different sports. But how about Nicky Ryan versus whatever this guy's name is, the wrestler?
I don't like these matches at all.
No, me either.
I don't like these matches.
Who was the other guy?
Some guy that wrestles. Who cares?
He's a very good wrestler. And I think he's taken this match seriously. He called out Nicky Ryan.
Yeah, but how much jiu-jitsu has he done?
Probably only a few months worth. I don't know.
Nicky pulls guard. Now what?
Yeah, you're allowed to pull guard. This is a pure jiu-jitsu match.
You just sit.
Yeah, and it's sub only. So, I mean,
yeah,
obviously.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, yeah, that's why I don't know why they're doing it.
Well, apparently this guy was unimpressed. That was his quote with Nicky Ryan.
Okay, so let's pick on the little kid.
So it's should be interesting. I mean, obviously, I saw a little interview where he was saying he was he's been drilling like nonstop escapes to leg locks. It's like, yeah,
we'll see
about that. It's just different. No, he's got some sort of jiu-jitsu camp he's going to.
Okay,
but like, it's not a big, well-known one, and it's one thing to just drill escapes. But when someone like Nicky Ryan knows how to off-balance you in a position to, like, expose limbs and then he's just going to go for it, it's a different story when you have a top-level guy that knows how to heel hook guys and he finishes guys. He knows how to finish. So
are they similar size?
I'm guessing they are.
Is that all the matches, Davey?
That is all of the matches.
So what are we going to do? We got to do the outro after the matches.
Outro after the matches?
So we have the results. People are not going to know.
That's true.
I'm multitasking here. I'm trying to pull up the list. We could talk about this another time. You want to talk about it on the podcast?
Sure.
What he's saying is after the matches, we do the outro, and then we can review the results.
Exactly.
Oh.
You got it?
Yeah, but what if we don't get together? Then you're going to want to call.
I'll call
or
you.
Then you're going to put your wife on again. And by the way, does your wife know that you're the one that bailed on me for the intro, outro?
I told her. Oh, She didn't know.
She didn't know.
She didn't know. Then I told her, and she said, well, I still hate him.
That's fine. Perfect.
Yeah, no, she still doesn't care. It doesn't matter.
I would have liked it better if she knew ahead of time and still decided to place blame on me.
No,
yeah,
she would have.
Yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, okay. That's exactly what this podcast needs.
Yanni, I want to talk to you about our interview with Zach. What did you think about that interview?
Oh, Zach. I love Zach. I thought it was a good interview. I liked hearing his insights a lot. I feel like those guys... I don't know. I'm losing my train of thought here.
No pressure.
What about the interview?
All right, so the way Dave was setting it up was Dave was in the middle, and obviously I love the gi, and then he's no gi. So we were kind of going back and forth a little bit on rubber guard and lockdowns and stuff like that.
They ended up having basically the same mindset.
Sure. Well, it's because he's trained with pretty much everyone, not just 10th Planet guys. He's trained with all sorts of guys. I know with my experiences, when you don't train with really good guys who have really mastered something not even locked out, I would say more so the like rubber guard. If you get lazy, you're going to get subbed. And if you don't train with those guys to learn it, you're going to get subbed. So I think I have a lot of respect for their techniques. I don't really use it. I feel like it's a lot of it takes a long time to get really good with not as big of a payoff as, say, you know, a more like open guard or more, you know, more dynamic.
Yeah, things
like
that transition to different.
Yeah. In fact, I was watching a video recently. It was an old video. It was Brian McLaughlin teaching some basic rubber guard in MMA context. And for MMA, it's great. It's a good way of keeping the posture down, possibly land a few strikes of your own, not getting hit, and then put the person in some danger. It does require a little bit of flexibility. I don't think it requires as much as like some people like think. And I think the more you use it on a regular basis, then you probably get more used to it. However, at the higher levels, it's not going to be something you're going to need at tournaments. You know, it's not going to be what you need for ADCC.
Well, now Gordon Ryan says it doesn't work.
Sure. I mean, a lot of things don't work on Gordon Ryan.
I don't know if he said on him specifically, because Ed still says it doesn't work.
Gordon's a bigger guy, so it's like maybe in a lower weight class, it's going to be a lot more effective. So,
okay. Like
I think any technique
will work. But this is the problem. If you do a technique like rubber guard, I feel like you need to be at minimum the same skill level or better for it to really work out. If you're a lower skill level and you're going against a high skill level, I really don't see it working as efficiently as other techniques would.
Yeah, no, I agree that it has like some limitations, but I remember one time training with it was either Zach or JM, and I think it might have been JM, and I remember like he went for one thing and then he transitioned so quick into like a rubber guard that like I wasn't ready for it. And the only way to get good at it is like through their drilling. And you see like their whole system, the way they drill, the way they like transition from one to the other. It's very effective. And if you set up the traps, you know, it could work.
I agree with that. Like when, who's the guy that does all the Ezekiels?
Over here, Christian. Yeah.
Christian. Oh. So Christian does the Ezekiels, right? And you can get those to work for sure. But I mean, how many times is he Ezekieling you now?
Right, after, exactly.
Like, so, yeah, they can get it to work one, two, maybe three times. On you, definitely not three times. Mm-hmm. But once you have the rhythm of it, it's not like an over-under pass where I can tell you, Dave, I'm going to do over-under. And it's going to work if I put myself in position over and over again.
I also don't believe that all techniques should be equal, though. You know,
I don't think it should be. I'm just saying, like, I tend to focus on the ones that I know are going to work, even if you know it's coming.
Yeah,
that's why I think Gordon Ryan wouldn't like to do something like that, because he does the same kind of sequences over and over too.
Yeah, I know. I just think that like having tools in your toolbox is good, especially if you have a good rubber guard. Now, I'm going to say this, that rubber guard, like I said before, is probably better for lower weights. Probably, like if you're a heavyweight, probably it's going to be tough to
I got
be
a fat
really
stomach.
Good.
It's not
so
really good.
So Bushesha should have pulled guard and done rubber guard.
No, it wouldn't work as a heavier weight.
Okay,
I would say at the lighter weights it works better.
Right,
so
I got you.
So I would say lighter weights, because then you're going to get more guys with longer legs for their weight, for, you know, longer legs comparison to their opponents, and they'll be able to use their legs more.
What about Keenan?
Yeah, Keenan, I think, is just so much of an open guard player. I don't think he really would have the patience to develop that kind of game.
Well, what about the goober guard or whatever it is? That's basically rubber guard with the gi.
Yeah, I believe it's something similar. I don't really know a lot about that technique. I've seen like a few posts. I know that he learned it from training with Jamil and stuff like that back at Lloyd's.
So, all right, another thing we were talking about in that interview that I was actually really proud of was kind of my thoughts on the competition. They are starting to evolve. As I talk to all these people and they say that competition has absolutely nothing to do with promotions. Mm. The more I think about it, the more I am against it. I'm on the opposite side of it, because even if you don't go to competition, if you're in a room with people that are going to competitions and you're shark tanking them and you're getting them ready, you're getting more intense rounds, and that's because of competition. And then when you look at techniques, the techniques have been really going forward because there's competitions every weekend, and that's how people are really honing in. So I think competition really plays a humongous part in the development of jiu-jitsu, and I think it should play a certain part in your promotions. I mean, you don't have to force people to compete, but if you do compete, it just raises your level exponentially and the people around you exponentially.
Yeah, I just think it's unrealistic to expect everyone to do tournaments. Even if it is good for them and the right thing they should be doing, like to get better, to get them out of their comfort zone and stuff like that, not everyone's going to do it. So, however, they are getting better. Like, if they continue training, they are going to see some improvement. They are going to get their level very high. So promoting them outside of competitions, I don't see a problem with that. I do think that everyone should do competition at least once, especially at a lower belt when, you know, you're a little bit more apt to go out there. You know, definitely try to get those competitions in. I think you should always be testing it out in competition somewhat, you know, even if it's just
in the room. Like yesterday we videotaped Maddie Roland and stuff, and that is the lowest level of competition. Like, all right, we're paying attention to this and we're watching you, we're helping coach you, and you're, there's a little bit more on the line. And that's what I'm talking about. Even just that.
Even just that, they don't want to lose. They don't want to lose any one position because, like, the spotlight's on them. And I think it does help you with your training, will make you better.
So let's poke the bear a little bit more. How about, we've been talking about this a lot in the gym lately. What do you think about everyone having to at least competed one time before receiving black belt?
Once again, I think it's important that everyone should do it, but I don't know if it's really necessary.
All right.
That's just my, just because I know there's going to be some people that will never do it. Like, obviously, you know, we can't fault John Donaher for never competing.
Well, maybe you don't.
No, I do. Yeah, I thought about that too. The aspect of competition, how many people has he trained and taught
at the highest level
to win at the highest level? Yeah. I think that also counts too.
Yeah, also, if we have a room full of guys, let's say we have a class, there's 20 people in the class, and there's a tournament coming up and five people are competing. Those five people are training and their partners are pushing them to get better, and we're all kind of going into this tournament together.
Yes.
So I think if no one was competing, I think the level wouldn't have gotten as high. Not even close. So having that, like having a few people in the mat that are going to be competing, changes the vibe in the class and definitely makes everyone get better faster.
There we go.
So we all basically agree.
Well, it's kind of evolved into...
You're just hitting it on the outskirts, like me with the Jan Father Mafia.
You got that.
I am on the outskirts of the mafia. They're on the outskirts of competition, but it still affects everyone the same way. Again, now we're on competition. So you heard the last podcast, and we have an idea for Ed with little mini competitions, part of the Tap Ed series. How do you feel about the arm break competition? It's basically an EBI overtime for just anybody that thinks they can tap Ed. How do you feel about this?
That would be a lot of fun.
Do you think that there's going to be anybody in 1 minute that can tap Ed?
I think if Ed does that with enough people, he's going to get tired.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I would get tired for sure.
So we'll limit it. 20 people. 30 people. How many people is it going to take?
I don't know how many.
Are we just stacking this in Ed's favor? That's not right either.
Do you think he can hold off 20 people in a row?
I don't care if he can hold off 20 people. I want to see him lose. So yeah, let's get as many people.
That's why I picked 20 instead of 5.
Well, no, we're just going to post up and see whoever wants to come get some.
Come get some.
Let's reach out to Grappling Industries, see if we can hold a side mat.
Yeah, I don't think Gordon could break it.
Yeah.
No, I know he could.
Maybe he couldn't. You heard Kyle say he's unusually strong.
What if he needs a minute and 1 second?
It's only 1 minute.
Ed gets to hear. He gets his grip gets broken at 59 seconds, but he doesn't tap out in time. By the way, speaking of such, when we were talking about defense, if you remember Craig Jones fighting Gordon in that EBI, man.
That was coming to my mind the whole time.
He let his arm completely straight, and it looked like it probably got jacked up. But then he calls that late escapes, and he criticizes a lot of modern competitors for having no late escapes. But I see that as, oh, man, you just let your arm get jacked up and escape afterwards.
I don't have late escapes. I'll never have those.
I want to know, do you think that you could fix Craig Jones's armbar?
I'm sure.
What's wrong with his armbar?
I'm sure
Gordon's arm was like this.
Oh.
I'll show you the video.
I'm sure any advice I could give him to finish that armbar, John has already told him. So.
Wait, who was in the armbar? No, Craig Jones is in the armbar.
Jones had Gordon Ryan. EBI overtime.
Yeah, it was in the EBI overtime. And then, I don't know, did he start on the armbar or was he on the back? He might have been on the back and switched to the armbar, and then he did break the grip. And then,
you think it's easier to break with the gi or without the gi?
I think, yeah, it would probably be easier with the gi just because you have more options for...
Like, they're not going to just slip out of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear my gi for that tap-head thing. They don't have to be wearing a gi, but I'm going to be wearing my gi.
So that you can hold on for dear life.
Oh, yeah, you could grab your own lapel. Yeah,
that's what I do. That's my favorite things.
We have a monster wrestler. All right, you've heard about him. His name is Sam. Monster wrestler. I keep forgetting to ask, but I remember at one point he was 260 pounds and super strong. All right. He's put all of us into this armbar. All right. He's finished me and he's put Ed in this armbar, and we're going to just cinch up his finishing details, and you're going to see Ed getting tapped every round.
Every round.
He is a detail or two away from breaking that grip.
Then that's gonna,
it's insane, like, because most people aren't even close. Like, I'll sit there for 5 minutes and you'll never break it. Him, like, Dave started giving him some coaching and I started freaking out because he was going to do it.
It was just his feet. I'm like, cross your feet. But he wanted the bicep slicer so bad.
He was trying to bicep slice me. That doesn't happen.
Oh, man.
It's impossible.
Well, I mean, he's got the size that he can, like, pick one break and just go with it.
If you were going to teach a big guy like that sweeps, do you have a go-to thing or do you got to base on his kind of style?
A big guy, and I want to work on sweeps from the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would start from half guard.
That's what we're telling him.
Yeah. That's guy, what I said.
If you listens, what do you mean? I'm in total agreement.
All right, good.
He's going to come up with the single leg. If he can start putting these sweeps together, he's going to be an absolute monster.
Yeah, I would start with just the standard half guard getting up because it's basically like wrestling up, you know?
You know how he passes my guard? I usually pull guard. And he gets an over-under, or I get the over-under because I'm going to try and sweep. And he lifts me off the ground and lat drops me.
Oh, and he lat drops you.
Yeah. So, I'm sitting just like this in butterfly guard with my grips, and he lifts me up off the ground and lat drops me.
And then you end up in side control.
Yeah. I've gotten my half guard back a couple times, but now he's like, all right, I really need to throw him a little harder. My legs go so far off to the side.
Yeah.
Or he'll let a butterfly sweep happen and then just use momentum to keep
that
going.
Was great.
I was like, come on.
Yeah. You know, there's this guy that's training up at Pure. He's an Olympic level wrestler. His name is Colton Brown. I've been training with him. He's a white belt in jiu-jitsu.
I know, that's crazy.
He's
belt
a great
in judo.
Yeah, he's obviously,
that should be an automatic blue belt to start.
I mean, he's just training here and there just to help his Olympic run, just to tighten up his ground game and stuff like that. But I like rolling with him, but he actually has a decent over-under, even though he doesn't have like all the details perfect, but man, just his knowledge of base and judo and stuff like that, if you let him pass your feet, it's going to be tough, man.
Do you stand with him?
I do not. Actually, I think I stand with him for a second until I make a grip and then just sit.
So
he doesn't try to throw guys unless they're silly enough to try to go after him, and then I think he just...
Would he take you down nicely, though? Or would he attack and break the earth?
Hard to say. I think he would take me down nicely. He seems to be a very nice guy.
I'm pretty sure.
I think he would foot sweep me.
Now, Ed's been training judo.
I trained one class.
I put my finger up, all right? I wanted Yanni to know. Ed's starting to cross train. He talks about we're going to go down there and we're going to do an interview with Jose. And
once you say you're going to do it.
One day.
That's fantastic.
This is nice to bring this up, Ed.
Go ahead.
So, motivation versus expectations versus reality. From the beginning, I've said that we're going to do more podcasts of just us, whether it's because that's what I want or because it's going to get harder and harder to get guests. Right now, it's very hard to get guests. A while back, I told Ed that he can go off on his own and interview people, which he's going to have to because everyone has scheduling issues to where I'm at the gym. All right. So some of these podcasts are going to have to be without me. I would prefer that they're with me, but based on the scheduling issues, it's not going to happen that way. So now that it's been a few weeks, do you still have the same motivation? Do you still have the same expectation towards getting guests? Or are you willing to face reality that no one wants to talk to us?
No, people want to talk to us.
Yeah, that's not it.
That's not the reality. The reality is you're a loser and you don't know how to schedule right. That's the only problem.
People want during the week in the evening.
Do you
have
personal
a
days
job.
You could take?
Not from the gym. The gym is the personal day.
No, I'm saying during the actual day, your work.
Oh, during the actual day?
Yeah. All right. How about once in a while?
You might have just brought up a good point.
There you go.
That didn't even cross my mind.
So stupid.
Well, that does, you know, that's the job that pays the bills. So skipping that one kind of didn't cross my mind.
It's not skipping it. You have scheduled days that you could take. Okay. Anyways. What else you got?
So we talked about Ed's motivation before and his consistency with the podcast. He's also been 2020 since we reopened, very consistent with his training.
Yeah.
You felt that today, H.
Yeah, I felt it. And I can hear it in your interviews and last few ones, especially like talking about Kyle between the three of you guys just trying to kill each other. That's great.
Yeah, but
Kyle,
we're all bad because we can't sweep each other.
I sweep.
Understand that just getting on the mat with each other, that you're able to push each other. That's what it's.
Do you ever have those anymore? Like those days where you're just like, I am terrible. What am I doing? You definitely don't.
you can't look at it that way. You have to think about...
Come on, you ever just get beat up like four rounds in a row and be like, this, what's going on?
Absolutely. And then what I usually do is think, there's going to be another session tomorrow morning. You know, I train so much. You know, I usually roll with my students at night and try to train during the day. So you can't... The training, you know, is so frequent that you can't, like, any peaks and valleys are just going to go away because you're going to be training so much that you're going to get to your peak again after your valley.
I got to be coming here more, though.
That's the problem, though. We're not training as often as him. We need to do nothing but train all the time now. Quit your job.
I don't need to.
Yeah, if you're training often enough, you forget about the negatives and you focus on your positives.
I have a feeling that wouldn't happen with us.
You got to.
We text each other the other night. Actually, he said it before we left the gym, and I text him later that night. He was going to quit, and I text him later, you can't quit because I'm quitting.
I don't think you get beat the same way that we do. When we were rolling today, what do you think I was doing? Over, under, trying to smother. His hips moving the whole time. I didn't get a chance to rest. I wanted to throw up after the round because he was making me work. I was past his legs, and he's making me work hard the whole time until eventually he didn't even sweep me. I just fell from exhaustion. He just stood. He got lifted his hips over my hips, got on top, and thank God the round ended.
Wait, do we have this on video? Because I need the pointers. I'm trying to fight him head to head. Yesterday, he has a grip on my pant leg, pushing that leg for over under. I'm just trying to break his grip. And it's so bad when I'm trying to break grips. Ed.
It's about not stopping, though. You can't stop at any point. And you have to... I train a lot of escapes. So I often, when I'm training with my students, let them get to certain positions and I work my escapes. So I have a lot of confidence in my escapes.
You got to do... Like, you do seminars, obviously. I just want a full escapes retention seminar.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing.
Some of my favorite techniques, I get very excited when I discover, like, a new little... strategy to escape, and then it usually connects to a basic move that we already do. You know, it's just, how do we get there? How do you funnel everything in? And you always think about a funnel, small in the bottom, big on the top. So everything has to go at the end in the same way. So that's what you got to do in your training. You got to force things down the funnel, and then it all ends up in the same technique.
Well, that upside down kind of shrimp that we were doing today
in the warm up.
Yeah, in the warm up, it now it makes more sense when you put it to the actual technique. I definitely don't do that
upside
at all.
Upside down shrimp.
Exactly. He doesn't know.
Yeah, it's a little technique where you do a shrimp, and then you keep lifting your hips up until you're inverted.
It's definitely a movement you have to work on, because that's what he was doing to me the whole time. Just the hips are up in the air.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with that.
But this thing gets in the way for
no,
when
it doesn't.
I'm inverting.
It's not.
No, so you could do this move?
Tell him. I can do it.
He can do it with his belly.
I believe in all of you.
But see how he doesn't answer the question? I want a straightforward answer to the question. Can Ed do this move with his belly?
Well, we were doing the warm-ups. Were you doing the warm-ups?
I was doing it.
Yeah.
Well,
I was doing it with everyone, so I wasn't really watching anyone. But I think he was doing them fine. Just drill them. And then, obviously, it's tougher when you have someone on top of you. But...
especially when that's on top of you. I was talking to Ray outside, and he was just like, it's just, you know, it's like lifting weights. You just got to do it over and over until you can move them around.
But you know what? It's tough rolling with Ed when you don't roll with him for a while, because you get used to, like, stopping the passes in a certain part. But with Ed, if I let him get too close, I'm like, oh, now it's going to be a lot of work to get my knees back.
Oh, I made you work, but you got out of it. You know what it is, Yanni? Actually, when we were rolling, we talk about this, where people that you look up to, you kind of have the self-defeating kind of prophecy, self-fulfilling. Like, I just thought, like, once you get turtled, I'm like, I just lose confidence in it, and then I start to fall apart mentally there. Yeah. I got to get more confident there.
I also test you a lot, like I'll start doing a movement. I want to see if you're going to take advantage of and when you don't take advantage, I take advantage back.
Yeah. That's just the pausing. I do a lot of pausing. Obviously, when I'm doing the over-unders and I'm getting, you know, I'm confident there that I'm going to pass. But then once you start lifting your hips up, I start slowly. You could just feel it.
Yeah.
And
like I was saying before, when we're talking about staying positive, is like you have to focus on the little battles. And get excited for those little battles. Be like, oh, I got my knee inside this time. I usually have so much trouble getting my knee inside. Or I got this one grip that I'm looking for, and I kept it for a long time. Because before you know it, you're using that grip to finally doing your offensive technique. You're not just...
I just got to train with you live from just turtle. Like, start with the hug in the hip, and then go. Like, if I did that probably 100 rounds over a month or two, it'd be a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, probably just need a few more attacks, you know? Because if you just do one thing and I just have to defend one thing, it becomes snail mail fast. But once I have to start defending other things, like that's why sometimes in turtle, I will sometimes go to a guillotine. When they start defending the guillotine, I put my knee inside and I break them down the hip.
From the side, or you go back in front of them?
I go back in front of
them. Oh, so I never go back in front.
Yeah, because if you go back in front, if they are defending, if you can kind of imagine this, if you're listening, if they're defending the hooks, the hands are going to be fairly low on their body.
Right, because their elbows all the way down by their hips defending the feet.
Exactly. So that means their neck is open. So if you go up high by their neck and their hands come up over here, there's going to be space between their elbow and knee. You can go back to putting a knee inside, breaking them down, or go to a crucifix.
I just don't switch there. I'm like, all right, I'm here. I did a lot of work to get here.
You got
to
look around and be like, where else? There's an opening somewhere. There's an opening somewhere.
You know what it comes down to is a fear of being back on bottom. Or like, you let me start on top today, so my fear is like, all right, as soon as I go to the bottom, this round's over. So I get too scared to take chances, which is obviously wrong. But that stems from not confidence in my sweeps, plus I'm out of shape still, like even though I've been training 3 times a week.
It's your mental game. You have to just immediately switch, be like, this is the new problem.
I'm weak mentally.
I gotta defend this new problem. Don't think, oh, the whole role is over, you know?
No, but that's how it goes for me, because I spend it all, and then I'm like, ugh. And then you know how I am. As long as I don't get subbed, in my head, I'm doing fine, and I'm very good at just laying there and turtling.
So now Ed brought up that he's in very bad shape once again, all right? And I agree. Everybody that knows Ed agrees. So him and his horrible wife spoke about this, and... I'm just angry because she took my spot.
She's going to send you anthrax in the mail.
So the option or the possibility of a weight loss challenge between him and I was brought up.
That was a good
so
point.
So now, here it is, Ed.
Go ahead.
I challenge you to a weight loss contest. Me and you. You and I. Us.
All right, so we got to get an order. What scale are we going to use?
I'm going to get one of those ones that have the body fat measurer. Okay.
So when are we going to weigh in? Tonight?
Why, are you going to bulk up? No, I have to get the scale first.
Bulk up. Yeah, I got to
bulk
up.
I'm going to get it on Amazon.
Yeah, when I did the weight loss challenge with my friend,
but it's
we
not
spent
straight
a week,
weight.
No, but we spent a week just eating everything. He used to live with me. We used to, every night we were eating dinner, just going crazy. We ballooned
might
up
might as
heavy.
Well enjoy yourself before the torture happens.
So do you think that this will motivate you to finally start losing some weight? You don't want to lose to me.
No. There's nothing worse in the world than losing to you. If I got tapped by you, I think I would just quit. This podcast.
You mean tapped again?
Tapped again. I tapped as a brown belt.
Oh. So, Yanni, you heard the other day that I won on points again. On points from time to time. But
it was like 4-2 or something like
that? He totally redeemed himself last night. It was like 18 or 20 something to zero.
He doesn't know the escapes that you know. So once I get past the knees, it's over.
Yeah, we should have done 8-minute rounds today. But
if we would have did 8-minute rounds, for sure you would have armbarred me at least 3 times, maybe a triangle in there. Because I lost it all. I spent it all trying to control you, and then it was over.
Oh, so do you accept the challenge, though?
I accept it, but I need to know when we're starting.
And how long will it be?
Yeah, not too long.
No, because if it goes too long, you're just going to... this is the longest I've seen you do anything.
2 to 3 months.
How long are normally weight loss challenges?
I feel like 30 days or 60 days max. I did one at the gym. We did 90 days, 3 months.
Yeah, like why don't we just do it till January 1st?
What month is it?
It's October.
That's a long time. We got holidays.
Yeah, that must make it harder.
Can't we just do 30 days?
You can still eat during the holidays, just you're going to lose. So,
what do you want to do?
I want more than 30. 30 is not enough. 60 minimum.
So why don't we go for December 1st?
From now?
Yeah.
Well, we didn't weigh in. From
okay,
the weigh
from
in.
Not now. From weigh in.
From weigh in, we'll do 60, and then we'll figure out what
day it
on.
Is. So it'll be like December 7th or something. Something
it'll probably end
weird.
Up being January 1st like I want, because everything goes my way.
Okay. I have a couple of McDonald's gift cards I have to give you.
What is that? Oh, I don't want them.
No, they were sent to me.
From who?
People.
They're selling gift cards?
Yeah, sponsors. Because remember we talked about it the last time. We don't have any sponsors. People wanted to buy you gift cards. So I'll give it to you right after weigh-ins.
It's kind of like the Daisy Fresh people when people are sending them...
Yeah, laundry detergent.
Laundry detergent.
Panda, what is it?
And Panda Express.
Panda Express, thank you.
I don't think I've ever had Panda Express.
I never even heard about it until that show.
Oh, they're like at every mall, like
they're around here?
Yeah, yeah. If you go to like a mall and go to like the food court, there's usually a Panda Express.
I showed Johnny the videos that that we made yesterday.
I have to watch. Nice. There's only one up there, though.
There's two now.
Oh, there's two now.
So Yanni told me how to do the thumbnail. I'm going to work on that, get some text up there. We need, like, Yanni's got that fade in for his logo.
I know.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We got to get good. Oh, Yanni showed me some of my matches. He gave me all my matches, so I'm going to start doing the breakdowns of those old ones.
Weren't you just picking on your matches?
Oh, it was so funny.
Oh, so you want to put them up for comedy now, or are you going to put them up for
demonstrate
technique?
It's a full comedy show.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to learn much good technique from there. Just see how bad white belts were in 2009.
White belts are still that bad now.
Yeah, they're still that bad now.
So, H, once again, I'm going to bring this back to Ed's consistency. Consistency with the podcast lately, his consistency with training. Now, with all that he's doing for jiu-jitsu, I'm going to go as far as calling him somewhat of an ambassador to the sport.
He's saying this, not me.
No, this is totally me, yeah. Do you think that all the things that he is doing are contributing towards his black belt promotion in any way? You have never given a black belt, so
Well, you've never given a white to black belt.
Yeah, white to black belt.
We don't know what it really takes for someone to earn their black belt.
I don't even think you know what it takes.
This is putting me on the spot. I don't even know. I usually go by feeling. I watch a student train, and then one day I'm like, I get disgusted that they're wearing that belt, and I give them a new belt.
That's what it is.
That's
disgust.
What it is. Disgust.
He's definitely not disgusted by the color of my belt.
I'm like,
no, he wants to give you a purple one again.
Yeah, Yanni, you think you'll ever go backwards, or that's not a thing?
No, I would never go backwards.
What about with your students?
We focus on going forward always. So wherever you are, if you took a lot of time off and you came back, you're still going to have that belt, but. We'll focus
all right,
on
how
getting
about this?
Forward.
What about students that come from other schools that have certain belts and they say to you, like, I think I want to go backwards, like based on this room?
Well, I would suggest not, but if they really want to put on a different belt, then I guess that would be all right as well. I usually would just tell them to wear their belt because their instructor gave them that belt. They've earned it. They've put in some time. If I feel like they need more time, we're going to just work our best to get there, you know? And it's up to them. Ultimately, it's up to the student to get that new belt. It's not up to me.
Yeah, so why are you asking him? It's up to me, Dave.
Are you not, in your eyes, doing more than you've ever done before? I'm not going to say it's enough because that's not up to me.
I mean, that's not saying much. I was doing literal nothing, and now I'm doing
that's
a little
I'm
something.
Saying. So doing literal nothing, you were promoted to a brown belt with one stripe. Now that you're actually doing something.
No, I wasn't doing literal nothing the whole time. There's spurts where I do nothing, and then I come back and catch up to where I was, and then I do nothing again, and I just kind of tread water.
Okay, once again, this is the most consistent you have ever been with your training, with anything in life.
What do you want?
Wait,
what do you want?
Do you have an applause sound?
There
for
actually
on the...
is.
Yeah, here. See. I'll hit it.
No.
Idiot.
Not that one. I don't know which one it is.
Just hit them all again.
I feel like we should be playing some applause here.
Well, you
Dave
know what? He says that
you.
He says that I don't give him enough credit for the things that he does. And here it is right here. Me giving you the credit. You
what
I don't
you,
know that
what do you want me to do with it? What kind of reaction do you want from me?
The reaction isn't from you. I want to know what Yanni thinks. The question was directed
stop
at
looking
him.
At me then.
Stop interrupting me. What is the matter with you? Can't you just sit there, take a compliment, and let's hear what H has to say?
No, I'm very happy to see his contribution to the sport with doing these podcasts, interviewing people. I think he's opening his mind and learning more about the guys in the current scene. Like, obviously, like interviewing Zach, talking about 10th Planet, which he doesn't have a lot of experience with, and even talking about, you know, even meeting some of the like the girls, like Emily and Dominica and stuff like that.
We met Roberto. That was awesome.
The elite of the new generation with Roberto, who's going to be one of the all-time best, no doubt.
Who are you waving at?
Lauren.
Oh, Lauren's here.
You can't see her? It's glass wall.
Wait, did you get to the question?
No, he partially. Partially. Is he any closer to black.
That's an obvious yes. Yes. Like this much.
I know, but I just want more detail. Nobody knows what it takes to get a black belt from Yanni.
And no
so
one will know.
So this question is really for the community. People will know.
Well, based on my stripe, I'm not even halfway there. Is that good for you?
Fine. Well, if you look at it from white belt to now, you're much more than halfway there.
I'm talking about my 4-year brown belt journey so far. I got at least 4 more years to go.
Well, that white belt journey, that brown belt journey is a rough one because I was watching some video on YouTube and they were talking about a race. It's like how many times around a course would you whoever gets the number of laps and shortest number of time that they win the race. They were actually talking about the presidential debates and they're talking about what if they just went backwards and just crashed. How would you measure who won there? So it's like the journey is not always going forward. Sometimes you were going backwards. So
two steps forward, 3 steps back.
Yeah, no kidding. That's my life.
So he said not even close. So
no,
is that
not even close.
You?
That's fine. I have an answer now. So anybody else out there that trains up top and you are a brown belt, nobody's even close.
No, that's not what he said either. He said it's all on
individual
basis.
Dwayne
basises.
Has a few stripes, doesn't he?
Dwayne's almost there.
Oh, yeah, Dwayne's almost there. Unfortunately, he's not able to train right now, but pretty soon when he's back to training.
Is Ed and Dwayne the only students with stripes on their brown belt?
Nope. We also got Greg.
He has a stripe on his brown belt now?
Yes.
He's very consistent, though.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you're looking at me for. I'm on my own journey. Greg's on his own journey.
Yeah, he's on his own journey.
I'm not looking at you for any reason. Why can't I just look at you?
You're looking for something.
Beauty.
I'm trying to figure out
you.
What are you looking for?
It's your shirt. I like your shirt.
Dave likes me, all right? That's why we're doing this. He wants me to get there. That's what he wants.
I'm pushing him to get better every day. Even the days that I'm making him pull his hair out.
A lot of days.
Don't worry. When Ed walks in and I'm just like disgusted he's wearing that brown belt, he'll get his black belt. I'm very emotional and impulsive. Don't you know that?
What about his geese? Do you ever get disgusted at the geese that he's wearing? Because you know they're not IBJJF legal. Which top did you have on today? He has one that goes up to his elbows.
I just don't like the one manto gi that's so thin and I can't even grab the freaking collar.
That's a 2012 gi.
You know, H, we have a couple of geese at the gym that we're going to be doing gi reviews
for. Can you
tell
him which microphone you got? He was wondering.
I can. It's the Rode Micro.
Ooh, that's probably pretty good. I don't know that one off the top of my head, but Rode's a good brand.
It's a shotgun microphone.
Nice.
When's it coming in?
It's probably there today.
Oh, that's exciting.
When are we doing our review?
That's
not
exciting.
Not Saturday, because you have to work.
Sunday?
Family day.
Friday. I can come over tomorrow?
Let's plan our day for tomorrow. Whether we do the gear review or not, why don't we do some of our secret sessions so that we can beat Kyle up a few times before he goes under the knife?
Kyle's crazy. Like, his knee is completely
really
ruined.
He wears 3 braces on it so that he can train.
And he still beats us up with a bum knee.
Oh, my God.
He loves training.
He's getting surgery?
Yeah.
ACL?
It's questionable. They're going to start off with the scope and go from there.
I bet they do.
Oh, I see.
Because, like, when he doesn't wear the brace, even the slightest movement, he could just, his leg just gives out.
Wow. That's the only way I get him.
You wait for him to step.
I try reaping that leg, sweep the leg.
Just keep moving, and then the more he has to walk, the more better chance he has of falling over because his knee broke.
Oh, Dave, that match that I beat you yesterday, 18-0, I did that back step you showed me a couple months ago.
I had the leg drag position where you put your foot under the ankle, but I had my legs all tied up. I had to unlock my legs, and in order to unlock my legs, I had to move my foot, and as soon as I did, his foot was gone.
My little foot.
Son of a gun.
His little foot slipped through the cracks.
His little tiny, you know what? It was that size 5 got away from me.
I'm 8.
Okay, 8, sure.
I'm a big boy.
Mm-hmm. I still have people that message me about the picture of your foot versus your wife's foot.
It's a classic picture.
Did you see that Ashley commented on that she thought it was my foot next to you?
We should paint your toenails and put it next to
you. Want to do that?
Yeah, I'll do
no,
that.
We're not going to do that.
Oh, that's why? Because of the painted toenails? You're like, wait, is that Dave's foot?
I do like Twilight. How about Twilight, H? You watch Twilight?
I saw the first one.
That's it.
Say you like me.
What? I couldn't watch any more of them.
Come on, they're one, some of the best movies out.
Yanni, what's a great movie?
What's a great movie? I love American Psycho. You ever seen American Psycho?
It came out in 2000.
Patrick Bateman.
I hate you. Was it 2000? Did it sound like it came out in 2000?
Yeah, I would say so, around there.
No, with the...
Yeah, Patrick Bateman.
No. Who's Patrick? That's the name
of the character. Oh, that's the name of the character. It's Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
Sorry. That's how much I love
the
movie.
It could have been worse. He could have said, like, you know, Batman or...
You know, with Batman.
Yeah, what about The Dark Knight? That's my favorite one.
What year? Oh, yeah.
2008. That was a good one.
And then the one after that with that was about Joker or whatever. What was
I
that
like
one?
Batman
Oh, you see
Begins.
The new Joker movie?
Oh, I love the new Joker
new
movie.
New Joker movie Never is fantastic.
It's a good movie. You know what I like about it? It's like an interesting spin.
New perspective.
Yeah. Most most of these comic book movies always have like a, you know, the bad guys are just completely evil. You know, there's no reason for them to be evil. But here's like you kind of see his like decline and, you know, talk about mental illness.
I think they're going to make another one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. Did you hear them making like 7 or 8 more Avatars? Like they have them all lined up?
Oh, well, I never saw Avatar. So
you
I
never
know.
Saw Avatar?
So I don't even know what the story is.
Wait, we're not
is.
Talking about the cartoon. We're talking about the blue people, right?
The blue people. It's
that was
Pocahontas.
Great.
The first movie is Pocahontas.
Oh, so it's like a sequel to Pocahontas?
Yeah, Pocahontas sequel. But the whole point of it is the...
what year did Pocahontas come out? What year did Avatar come
1995,
out?
1995, and Avatar came out in
at what point,
2009.
At what point?
Mulan.
1998.
At what point in Pocahontas did they all turn blue? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, but the whole point is the special effects. You're supposed to see in IMAX. Like, that's what the movie's made for, the surround sound, like the real... So they're going to start pumping them out every 2 years now.
Same people?
Avatar, the James Cameron.
I was having a
guy that was in the wheelchair.
The director.
I was having a conversation with a friend of mine talking about because they've had a few movies come out directly to TV, you know, because of
No movie theaters.
Right, because you know movie theaters and stuff like that. So, and then he was saying that he would just rather just watch it at home all the time. He's got a really nice setup at home, but I kind of think it's. There's like something to going out.
Sometimes, yeah. Especially if you're going out with other people.
Exactly.
The whole experience, it is fun. Then you
especially going to watch some like movie that you're looking forward to, like a Star Wars or something
Twilight.
Like that. The new Twilight.
Yeah, the new Twilight. Yeah,
I never saw Star Wars, but I saw every Twilight.
Dave, what are the chances? Like, you know how they remake movies all the time, like 15 years down the line. You think they're going to remake Twilight?
No.
You don't think
actually,
they're
who knows? Because they remake everything now.
That's all they do now.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
why Joker's so good, because even though it's about, you know, Batman's story, it's a completely different. It's its own
reimagining.
Thing.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
did you see Batman with Michael Keaton?
Of course.
Yeah, 1989.
Okay, and they remade it, but that one was good enough. This one's even better.
Which one?
How about the new Spider-Mans? Have you seen?
I didn't
new
see
Spider-Man?
Them actually.
Don't waste your time.
I heard they were good.
No, wait. Which one are you talking about? Because Spider-Man was already made in the 80s.
In the 80s.
In the 80s.
You mean the cartoon?
No, there was a movie, a Spider-Man movie,
in the 80s?
And then they remade
I never
it
saw
with that
one.
Guy. Who was the guy?
Tobey Maguire.
Yes, then they remade it with him. That wasn't the original. They already had two from the 80s.
Did they? I didn't even know that.
I never saw
it. You know what year Spider-Man came out? Tobey Maguire?
No, I don't.
2000.
Really? Nice. Sounds about right. That's how
Fight Club.
1999. Love that movie.
Fight Club. I've only saw it once. I saw it like when it first came out.
What?
I have to watch it again.
Yeah,
I watch it over and over.
Yeah, it's a movie that you could just keep watching. Oh, it's so funny.
I remember I was watching that show... Mr. Robot, did you guys see any of that?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, the TV show, yeah.
The TV show, yeah. It's about hacking and stuff like that. But they, it was I believe the writer, the director was really influenced by Fight Club, and they have like a Fight Club-esque plot twist in like the third season.
So do you remember Fight Club at all?
Barely.
All right, I want you to watch it again, and then I want you to get back to me because I call it a martial arts movie.
It's definitely not a martial arts movie. You don't even have to watch it again to know that's not a martial arts movie.
I think you're looking at it on the surface. I think it's a lot deeper than that.
Why don't you give us your thoughts on the movie Red Belt?
Red Belt. Oh, I remember when that came out. I remember seeing that in the theater.
I love it.
I only really remember watching it once. It was fun because it was a jiu-jitsu movie, so it was kind of cool. And I also, it's like a struggling jiu-jitsu school owner. I definitely...
Identify with him.
I identified with him very well. But I just thought it was kind of silly how they like added all these funny mystical stuff because you're talking about modern martial arts and combining it with like old school, like 80s kung fu movies, you know?
Yeah, but what I was telling Dave is if they did a loosely based story based on the Gracies, doing the Gracie challenges, going to these gyms, that would be
like
cool.
A biopic. I think a biopic like on Helio
very
Gracie.
Very loosely,
though. They're doing, Robert Drysdale is doing his documentary.
Yeah, that's
well,
too,
documentary, yeah.
But that's different. I'm talking
maybe
about
a dramatized
yeah,
movie.
That'd be really cool.
Honestly, I think I would rather see a biopic or something like that. Something yeah, right? similar to like, you know, the Queen movie that came out last year.
Yeah, something like that would be awesome.
On Helio Gracie, or it could be on...
I want to do one on Hickson.
It could be on the Helio versus Kimura, you know, battle, you know? Because there was a lot going on there. Helio had beaten... like Kimura's student or the lower weighted guy, Kato.
We'll do them all.
Yeah.
We'll do a series.
There's a really good video on YouTube. It's two parts. It's only 15 minutes each. It's on the history of jiu-jitsu. It's very good. I shared it the other day on Facebook 2 weeks ago, but I don't think too many people saw it.
I'll find it. I'll share it on the page.
I shared it on the up top page. So you guys will definitely like it. It talks about, it starts way back, you know, old wrestling in Japan back in the day, and they basically end it around Helio versus Kimura.
We should watch it, take notes, and maybe do a review on it.
What about if they redid the Karate Kid again, because they've already redone
Karate Kids,
and they redid it with a jiu-jitsu theme?
I don't think you should remaking movies.
Remake
them.
Come on, no. Just one more time.
No, let's be original.
How about get an
Nobody
original
knows
story.
How to be original.
Yes, they do.
The other thing
then
is,
why are we remaking so many
movies? I like The Karate Kid, but The Karate Kid came out in the 80s.
Yes.
And the world is different now, and it's too cheesy.
So yeah, much cheese. There's too much cheese.
Yeah, it has to be something like, I think, like nowadays would be, me personally, if I want to watch a new movie, I think I would like something more of a biopic, something about jiu-jitsu, and showing like the story of...
All right, Dave, call Hollywood.
Do you have their number?
You got it.
And I don't have it. They haven't given
Can't believe the Gracies haven't thought of this yet.
Idiots.
That was not the button. That's just what Ed sounds like.
Uh-oh. I think this podcast is going to get put on BJJ World.
Oh.
Ed calling Gracies idiots.
They're going to outlaw us like they did to Keenan?
Exactly.
I would love to be on Team Keenan. I'm just sad that Keenan hasn't put out an episode in 2 months.
No, they're unreliable. They're famous and unreliable.
I was liking their podcast. Listen to it.
Yeah, I like Keenan's story, especially some of the, you know, he's a very good storyteller, and some of his stories with like the guys when they were training at Lloyd's and stuff.
Yeah.
He was telling those stories. Those were great.
Did you call Lloyd Urban yet?
I have.
What did he say?
Nothing. He went to voicemail. I left a message.
Oh,
still
man.
Waiting for that call back.
That would be an interesting podcast for sure.
Or DJ Jackson.
I don't have
I don't think
number.
Is DJ still at Lloyd's? I feel like he's moved on, training
somewhere
some fighters.
In Florida
oh,
now.
Is he? I still have him on Facebook. Should I message him?
Yes, yeah. You should. Why do you laugh?
I don't know. I
Step
think
up
it's
and
ridiculous.
Do it.
I feel so terrible. That's why he has to reach out. I feel like I'm bothering them. Like I feel
yeah.
like
I don't care.
I know you don't.
Okay. Oh, was that a bother? Oh, sorry. I don't care.
That's why I love you. That's your superpower, is you're not caring. You really don't care. Like, when people say, like, eh, I don't, that doesn't bother me, you really mean
Wait,
it.
Just about messaging someone?
No, about anything. Nothing bothers you.
I'm sure there's things that bother me.
You'll get embarrassed.
I am sure there are things.
We're going to start videotaping us rolling, and then we'll get Yanni to do commentary on it.
Ooh, I'd love to do that.
Fine, but first, you have to roll with Kyle, Dan, Sam, Matt, Tom.
Not on the same day, no.
Yeah.
I don't know. When listen, if I'm ever going to be on camera doing videos, it's my first round and then nothing after that.
So what are you going to do, walk in at 8:55 so that I'm nice and warm?
Exactly.
And Ed has to start on top.
Yes. No, we'll start standing.
Okay.
I can take Dave down, though. I know
I
can. Well,
only because you tricked me.
How?
Because you were always, pull guard. You had me talking, shot, beautiful single leg on me, by the way. Put me right on my butt.
Oh, no, you know what? Because I just, every time I come here, even if it's something I've known forever, just having you do it on me and then drilling it, it just puts it back in my head like fresh. So I went to him.
Single legs.
Yeah, so I made him step, bam, took it. Just a simple move.
Yeah. But you've shot on me before that, and I've totally stuffed you, and you even laughed about it.
Yeah, because I didn't have the confidence in it. I had it because I was fresh in my head.
You were talking to me.
I love talking.
Yeah, but I thought we were having a conversation when you shot.
Yeah, but you still got to be able to stuff
gotta
it.
Got to defend yourself at all times.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
Haven't
I did.
You heard
I defended myself
big John McCarthy say that in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Defend yourself at all times.
A little big jump.
You know, I was talking to somebody the other day and they
That's what you got to get. You got to get like a UFC ref.
Mergliata.
Oh, yeah. He's local, isn't he?
I think he is.
I took a class at his gym once, a Muay Thai class. Oh, no. It was at James Meals' gym. Now James Meals runs Driven, but he had a first gym. And I went there to take a Muay Thai class, and then James wasn't there. Dan Mergliata was teaching it. It was a good class.
That's in Woodbridge, right?
Somewhere in Central Jersey.
I'll give him a call.
All right, call him up.
I'll call Dana and I'll ask for his number.
Cool. So, Yanni, what do you think about the future from here on out? Are we doing good? Are we in the right path?
I think
back
so.
Back to normal?
Oh, as far as just like training?
Yeah, training.
Yeah, I think so. I think so far the training's been going well, and I'm seeing tournaments starting to pop up. Right now, the big tournaments are the really big shows, so we haven't gotten the local tournaments yet, but once we get one or two, I think people are going to be excited to start. I mean, people are excited to compete right now. They're itching to do it, so the first few tournaments I think are going to be packed. They're going to be tough.
Local.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I think the local tournaments are going to be tough. And
yeah, that's where we want to get a booth, do the little tap ed thing, maybe go around with the microphones, not this, my little one, just interview people, ask little stupid questions.
I feel like we'd need to get permission for that.
Yeah, you bring your sheet. We got the sheets. Sign the sheet. Talk to them.
No, we'll I'm see. Saying from the promoter.
Oh, the promoter. You got to talk. Yeah, you got to go to them. You probably got to pay them to have the little space. But Gary's got those mats, so you put roll the mats out, mm-hmm. have a little
just
thing.
Do it on the floor.
No, get some emails. It's going to be great. We're going to have fun. Then you're going to have your people competing. We could videotape them,
over,
talk about
under,
the matches.
Over,
yeah,
under. Under.
Yeah, that's going to be our team chant. Over, under,
and
over,
Ed's
under.
Talking about competing because he wants more video so that he can show his half guard series in use.
Yes. 2021, well, though, not this year.
I think competition is some of the best way to get footage of yourself because you don't always video yourself training. So when you compete, you'll definitely get the footage of yourself against someone that you never trained with before. It's always a good way to really self-coach, you know?
So what's going on here? Why are there people here? Do you have a class coming up?
Not until 5:30, but on Thursdays, they sometimes come and drill around 3:30.
That's dedication.
They're dedicated, unlike you.
I'm dedicated.
I feel like I'm getting worse. Yeah. I came here today, and I feel like way more confident.
He said that you did great.
I know. I feel
you
better
did
now.
Good?
I feel better now.
You've been training just with me for months.
And I feel terrible about it.
But
I come
here. But he said you did fine.
No, but then he showed a couple details, and now I'm like excited again. That's what gets me excited. Like, you know, that's why you're still excited, because you're still finding new stuff.
Okay.
When I go to you, it's just nothing, a vacuum.
That's fine. Let's just keep doing whatever we have to do to get you motivated. So from time to time, come here. And it's not like I'm telling you not to come here.
I know.
I tell you, every Monday when he doesn't come to Noki, he's like, I'm going to go to Yanni's tonight. I'm like, good, go to Yanni's. I see him on Tuesday. How was Yanni's? I didn't go.
Hey, Taco Bell.
Oh, man.
Monday's a great session, too.
I know. Monday's was always my favorite class.
Yeah. Everyone's so stoked to train on Mondays. Our
Friday.
Open mats right now are getting pretty
packed
with all these guys from other gyms right now. Like,
I see those pictures. I'm like, oh, I need a Sunday.
Yeah. Bunch of guys doing...
Gi?
Mostly gi.
Yeah, gi.
I'm just checking.
You know, I changed that. Back in the day, it used to be no gi.
Yeah.
Used to have Saturday, Sunday was no gi. Thursday and Tuesday was gi.
Oh, man.
And then one day, I was like, that's enough. Everybody bring your gis. And then they did.
So, can I also give you another compliment, Ed?
That's enough with the compliments.
No,
I think
just
one per
more,
episode
one more.
Is good.
All right? Do you remember when we were recording? I don't remember who we were recording with. And Jared and Christine walked into the gym and you started to fall apart.
Yeah.
Last night while we were doing the video, people were there watching us and you were talking.
Yeah. That's different. I was having so much
fun.
How about
right now?
There's a glass between us.
Oh, that's it? But they can see you. You're in a fishbowl right now.
No. If they could hear us, like if the glass wasn't there, I wouldn't be doing this.
They can hear us. Can you guys hear us? See?
You yelled that. All right, you're right. Now that
I'm just trying to make
we got
to
start
apart.
Wrapping this up then.
All right.
Yanni, tell everybody where they can find you, what the stuff you're doing on the internet now.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find us on uptopmartialarts.com. That's our website. You can follow us on @uptopmartialarts on Instagram and on Facebook. So I usually, last week I posted a nice little technique. Everyone really liked it. I try to post some stories and stuff like that here and there when I can, whenever I have a camera available.
Don't forget, also subscribe to his YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Did I say YouTube? YouTube channel. Yeah, that's
I still have all the live streams that we had there on a nice little playlist. Even our yoga for BJJ that Lauren taught are on the playlist as well. So if you guys are looking to have some time and want to watch some longer videos.
And if you'd like to come train Up Top Martial Arts in Wayne, New Jersey.
In Wayne, New Jersey, absolutely. We're getting new students, and people are just really stoked on training right now. So.
And if you don't want to be part of the On Father Mafia, you just want to be on the outer edges like me, he welcomes that too.
But you'll never be part of it.
Put him on the outer edges, the outskirts.
Anything else, Davey?
Nothing comes to mind.
Okay.
Thank you for all that you do for this podcast.
You're welcome.
All right. Keep it up.
Hey, everybody.
So Ed just yelled at me, said that my energy is low. People, I'm tired. It's Friday night. It's late. We just got finished watching this Who's Number One matches. Matches were good length. Commercials, flow, whoever's running the show, get rid of the commercials. Fight after fight. Let's get these things done and over with. People have things to do the next day or have been up since 4 o'clock in the morning.
No, I don't think many people have been up since 4 in the morning and then watching that.
All right. Well, if you don't like my energy, all I can say is tough. I've been up for a long time. I'm still doing it, and I'm having fun.
Well, let's go through all the picks that we made and how we did.
I did fantastic.
Did you? Let's start
no,
at the bottom.
I think I was 4-for-4.
Yanni picked Montero. She lost.
Lost. Yeah, and you and Yanni think she won. No, she didn't win.
Because I thought she won.
It's how close the sub-attempt is. It's not just the number of sub-attempts. They actually have to mean something. Continue.
It was silly to me.
So I picked her.
I picked Ribeiro, too.
Oh, all right.
Even though I thought she lost.
Ribeiro, I like that.
Ribeiro. And then Ryan versus the wrestler went exactly how we thought it was. How many seconds was that? 20 seconds?
Best match of the night.
Was.
Because it was 26 seconds. We got to move the show
along. It gave me hope that the rest of the night was going to be good.
Yeah.
Wasn't. Then we had Meow versus Gioro Martinez.
You ever see Super Troopers?
Yeah, but I wasn't into that one. I didn't really watch
no,
it.
No, when they go up to the car and they're like, okay, you have to say Meow. Let me see your license,
I don't remember
Meow.
That.
Meow, you were going too fast, Meow. No?
Nope.
Sorry, Meow.
You thought Meow was going to win.
I did.
So did I.
So did you. So did Yanni.
We were wrong. He lost.
One sub attempt. You know what it is, though?
Yeah.
I think that these IBJJF guys, maybe if you're used to playing points, maybe just stick to points.
No, I disagree. Take
well,
a chance.
He's great ADCC. He's great
IBJJF. Yeah, it's
IBJJF.
All right to lose, though. You can lose. He's going to learn from it. He's going to go back. It's just always
okay.
Good.
All
this
right.
Is part of what we talked about in the episode.
That's fine, but not even one sub-attempt. Can we throw a sub-attempt? Do you understand the game? It's sub-only. Throw some kind of sub-attempt in there so you can get some kind of points on the board.
Whichever.
Whichever
then we had Tackett versus Rao. Tackett dominated him. You thought Rao was so awesome.
What did I say as soon as he walked out, though?
He don't look like he's going to win. He looked a little, soft, you know?
Yeah, squishy.
Not enough TRT.
Looked like us almost.
Yeah. He can't
when
win.
He walked out, I was like, ooh, I need to change my mind.
Yeah, it was too late by then. You already picked.
I already picked. It's fine.
Thanks
for nothing.
That was a good match. They finished it.
Yeah, that was a great finish.
All right, good. Great finish.
Then we had Jason Rao, you let me down.
Dante Leon did a great job. He almost got a submission.
He was dominating that round.
He dominated the whole
thing.
Yeah,
but it's very hard to get a submission at this high level.
He looked jacked. Yeah, but the steel guy, he's a brown belt, though.
Yeah.
He did good for a brown belt.
Well, he came out saying that wrestling was his strong suit, and boy,
he
got
out wrestled. He got out everything.
It was good.
It was a
domination match to watch.
And then the match of the night, Gabby Garcia versus Elizabeth Clay.
Match of the night.
It went exactly how you and Yanni said it was going to go. Yeah.
No, you said that it was better.
No, I was just joking around. It was terrible. I was having fun watching it, though, because I roll like Gabby. Just plotting.
Oh, but I thought you were being serious. I can't.
No.
At this time of day, I can't judge your sarcasm.
No.
I thought you were being
serious. It went exactly how you said it was going to go. Only Yanni was right. There was no sub.
I thought, you know what? She didn't try any of her normal stuff. Normally, Gabby Garcia is just like, oh, I'm big. I'm going to get on. And I just do horrible moves from the top. Any position. Doesn't matter.
You're so critical. Why are you so critical of her? You just hate when people are bigger than the other person.
No. I told you. I have the match pulled up so that you can watch. It was horrible. It's all brute force. There's no there's no jujitsu there.
She was jujitsu.
The last match. No, this one was better. Yeah, no, I like this one, actually.
Well, she won, dominated. Hopefully she got paid nicely for that.
Now, would you say dominated because the round did end with her in a submission.
Yeah, she did end in a submission. I wish it would have went a little longer then.
So what do you think about what I was saying? If you're in a submission at the end of the round, it keeps going for at least or at most, I don't know, pick one, 5 minutes.
I agree with it if you shorten the rounds. They shouldn't be 15 minutes.
No, they shouldn't be 15 minutes. Too long. 6 minutes.
What about 6 minutes and then 4 minutes overtime? So it's a nice even 10.
No overtime.
Not overtime, but if you're in a submission, it can go to 10.
Yeah, if you're in a submission, it can go to 10. Yeah, right, I take that.
See,
or if you, as soon as you escape the submission, it's over.
Beautiful. All right, now we get to the co-main event. Our boy.
My boy.
My boy.
No, my boy.
Roberto.
Jimenez.
How'd it go?
He's way too small.
He got ragdolled.
He's too small for Craig Jones.
Craig Jones.
They're in the same division, ADCC. I think that Roberto should go down to under 77.
Yeah, he was just, he could just move him, get under him. When he wanted the leg, he took the leg.
Yeah, he just threw Roberto around.
Yeah, the first 20 seconds, he almost got him. After that, I was like, oh, this isn't going to make much more.
But the rest of the round, he just continued to throw him around until he got the leg.
He got the leg.
Yep.
But Roberto didn't get hurt, so
no,
he'll figure it out eventually, I hope.
Although, did you see the difference between Craig Jones finishing the heel hook and
our next match?
The next match.
The main event, Gordon Ryan, we all said was going to win. And what did he do?
Oh, he won.
He won pretty handily. He dominated.
I was actually surprised at how easily he dominated.
He made it look easy.
He did.
That's how talented he is. It's not easy.
That talent made me angry for some reason.
I
thought it was
going
to be closer.
I loved it.
I couldn't believe the gap.
He's 30 pounds heavier. That's what you wanted to say.
No, actually, because that part I forgot right now since I'm so tired. But
yeah, he mounted him for 6 minutes and he made it look miserable under there.
I never saw somebody move so much from bottom, though. He was kicking, flipping, fluttering.
He looked like your brother.
Yeah, good point. Maybe he should come here and learn from Matt.
Well, what'd you think overall? You couldn't even enjoy it. Like, sitting here with you watching this, you're just falling asleep. I told you to take a nap today. Why couldn't you?
I told you
there
I wasn't
was no
going to be
soccer
able to
practice.
Take a nap.
What were you doing when there was no soccer practice? You could
have
closed your eyes.
I ran back to ShopRite because I forgot an ingredient.
Uh-huh.
I came back. I did the chili. Then I went. I took care of the chickens. Then I came in and I took a shower so that I smelled fresh.
All
for when
you had
here.
To do was not make the chili. Your wife brought home pizza for the kids. You could have just added an extra pizza on and you would have saved yourself a couple hours and you could have napped and this would have been a better intro outro. There you go.
I cannot confirm nor deny.
You need me in your life more. You keep trying to push me out.
No, I didn't want the pizza. The pizza is less healthy.
Who cares? Who cares?
I care. I'm on the right path and I'd like to keep that way.
Yeah.
All right, but we didn't talk about it. Gordon Ryan caught Mateus in a heel hook. They were both looking at each other. Mateus is about to tap. Gordon's like, you really want me to crank on this? Craig Jones? Oh, he cranked. You could see his face. He gets red. He grimaces. He grunts. He pulls. Does not care. Gordon, dude, you want your leg broken? It was over. What
so
do you think
like
about
him.
That?
I love that. He's a gentleman.
Right. You think Craig should have done that?
He's not as good, I don't think.
He's not as good.
So he has to win. Well,
but
he's
very good.
All right, but Gordon's the best right now.
Do you think that they would fight?
Fight what?
If Craig won the absolute.
Oh, of course.
He's going to fight Gordon for the, what's that, super fight?
Do you think they'll close out?
No, the super fight.
Oh, the super, they got to go.
You think they'd do it? All right.
I hope so. Would you against me? Yeah, we're going to do it anyways. We love each other.
Sure. We're going to split the prize money?
You can't say that out loud, but yeah, of course.
Oh, you heard it here, folks. That's like an oral contract, and do not cut that out.
You got anything else, sleepy boy? I got to go. I got to work tomorrow.
Oh, for once, the tables have turned.
And I'm not being a baby about it. You're being the baby. Look at your eyes aren't even staying open. I should have raised your microphone because you'd be talking under the line the whole time.
Really? What does it look like? Where's the line?
That's the line. Usually you're talking up here.
Well, I'm also trying to be respectful to my family that's asleep right now. But people, I did allow Ed to come back in my house. He was a guest again.
Had
another truly.
I had two.
No, the other one was something else.
Whatever. I counted
Pink
as two truly. They don't
something.
Need to know that. It's two hard seltzers I had in the beginning of the matches. And then you started falling asleep, so I didn't want to keep going.
I didn't fall asleep till the Gordon match. I made it a pretty long time. And you looked over at me and you're like, I'm drunk.
I was feeling good after two.
Oh,
but
man.
Then I stopped.
It's hilarious.
All right. Well, where can everybody find our materials?
You can check all of our stuff out at To The Death Podcast. Also, go to our website, tothedeathpodcast.com. Be sure to subscribe, like, and follow. Please,
yes, the YouTube
be
channel.
Be sure to go to the YouTube channel.
We're gonna start going
we are going to really start pumping out a whole bunch of
pumping
material
it, baby.
For the YouTube channel. We want to give you guys just not audio, but video. Of course you want to see our lovely faces.
And a big thanks to our sponsor, Core BJJ, for getting our new microphone that we're going to be using for those Gee sponsors. You can follow them at Gee
Reviews.
Gee Reviews.
Who's the sleepy one?
We're going to get sponsors from these Gee Reviews. count on that. CoreBJJNJ on all social medias. Also, CoreBJJNJ.com.
That's good. You're getting better.
That's good. Yeah. And thanks to Rob for the music.
Thanks, Rob, because this music is so much better than Dennis's music.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned Rob in like 5 episodes. I had to start doing it.
No, you keep doing it.
Yeah, because I love him.
Yeah.
Cool.
You love Rob?
Yeah, he's great. He's the best.
Do you work with him?
Yeah.
Every day?
He's at Hurt right now. He pulled his...
groin?
He pulled his groin fishing. He slipped on a rock and did a split. Fishing.
Man, didn't even do it like a manly way.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Rob's a man. I've seen him do some manly stuff.
Tell me something.
He
caught a baby falling out of a window?
No. We were on the roof, cutting a hole in the roof, and his helmet fell off and went all the way down to the ground. So when we went back down, he went to get his helmet, which was in the alleyway between two houses, and people were smashing glass above his head, and he didn't have his helmet on. So glass came, sliced his head open, and he came back to the rig, and I see him. He just looks like he just got out of... You ever seen Stone Cold Steve Austin after he gets hit in the head with like a chair or something? He's got blood coming down his face because he's bald.
No, but continue.
And I was like, what? What happened? He's like, ah, oh. I was trying to get my helmet. He didn't even get the helmet back. He came back to the rig, just bloody mess.
Somebody else got the helmet for him?
Yeah, later. He got his helmet back, but he had to go to the hospital, get some stitches. He was all right.
I'm glad you're okay, Rob, because without you, we would have Dennis's music.
That's all I got for today. You got anything else?
I do.
Go ahead.
I can't think of it right now.
Listen, guys, your feedback is greatly appreciated. Just let Dave know how awesome he sounded this intro outro.
I told you I'm worthless on Fridays. This is really late on Friday. I've never stayed up this late on a Friday.
All right, go to bed.
Wait, I have a message for your wife.
Go ahead.
Stay off the podcast. This is my time with Ed, all right? You get your time with Ed away from jiu-jitsu and away from the podcast.
You sound so manly right now.
I sound what?
She's not going to listen to you.
Why not?
Who could respect your voice right now?
And also, do you want to do a Twilight marathon with me?
All right, that's it. I hope you guys enjoyed. This is To the Death Podcast.
Episode 20. Wait, what would you call it?
Cinco.
Oh, all right. I thought we were going to get like a 20 again.
20.
20.